37.
Good.
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That don't get you fired up, your wood's wet this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Isn't he good? Praise the Lord. I'm convinced of something that this is my own thinking, but I'm convinced, and if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong, but I believe when we get to heaven and we see the glory of the Lord and we see what he has prepared for us, that we're going to look back and say, boy, why didn't I praise him down there on earth a little more than I did? Why didn't I get excited about the things of God and what he has done and made me possible for me to come here? I wish I'd have been praising him down there a little more than I did. I'm convinced of that this morning. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Just want to mention, Brother Dennis told me just a minute ago that they're going to take the youth immediately after the service and up and see JD and sing to him. And so anybody interested in going, that would be a good time, but sometime this next week if you want to go. But I thought I'd mention that. If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. I want to start this morning a series, and I don't know exactly how many sermons there'll be in it, but I started out with a message, and the first point was a sermon. So I took it then that it would be a series, and we'll start this morning. I want to start, and I've been preaching, the Lord's been laying on my heart about getting excited about this coming year. And making, setting goals and doing things for the Lord and getting fired up for the Lord and getting excited about what God's doing. And this morning I'm going to share a message with you, and this where the title of the series, I guess, will be 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision. And I want not only the eye vision, but I want the day, the calendar year this year is 2020. And what is our 2020 vision? What is it that we are in our lives, goals that we are setting and things we want to accomplish for the Lord this year? And I'm afraid so often we think, well, if we show up to church, preacher, we're doing good. And I understand what that is, but I tell you, if all of God that we get is inside this church, we're in sad shape. If all we do for the Lord is come to church, we'd ought to be a lot more than that in the life of a believer. And if you would stand with me, we'll read verse 20 of chapter 20 of a book of 2 Chronicles. The Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites have invaded Judah. And they're coming in, and everybody's tore up, and Jehoshaphat is the king, and he has got the people together, and he's putting the Levites out in front of the army, and he's sending the army out. And this is war, and they're getting ready to go here in verse 20, and he says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem.'" Now I want you to get right here, and this will encourage us for the year. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." This is a key thing here for victory. And if we believe in the Lord, we studied in Sunday school this morning, he sent the disciples out They had been trained, they had been taught, but now it was their turn. And it was up to them to trust Him. It was their time to exercise their faith. Believe in the Lord and believe His prophets. And believe His word and believe He is able to do what He said. I tell you, if we will get that in our minds and our hearts, we can accomplish great things this year. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for this day. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for Your goodness. Father, I ask You now to anoint old preacher boy. Lord, illuminate my thinking and touch my vocabulary. I pray for my throat. I pray, Lord, that You would guide and help. And I pray, Father, that You would touch each one in this congregation today. It's not just a coincidence that everyone that's here. Lord, I pray You'll give receptive hearing. Lord, anoint everyone's hearing today that we can hear, thus saith what the Spirit of the Lord says. God, speak to us and change us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There was three ladies were in a restaurant, and as they picked up the menus, each one of them got out a pair of glasses. And the first one, being a little embarrassed, as she put her glasses on, she said that I really only need mine for close reading. And the second shyly remarked, well, I only use mine when the lighting's bad. And the third smiled and confessed, she said, I rarely wear mine except when I want to see. And I wanted to read that and get us thinking about seeing and getting our minds on spiritual vision this morning. And see, the devil is going to do everything in his power to keep us from having 20/20 vision. He's going to do everything that he can do to block our vision and get our minds off of what's important. And get our minds on everything else. I would imagine probably by now he's done brought four or five things to your mind that you need to be concerned about. Done and got next week's on your mind. Done and got what you're going to do this evening on your mind. What are we going to have for lunch? Oh, it won't be long to supper. My stomach's a growling. I wish that preacher would hurry. The choir sang too long. I got to get out of here. Amen? That's not from the Lord. That's from the old serpent, Satan, that's trying to discourage us. And tomorrow, you get up and you pray and you say, Lord, set me out and give me two people to witness to today. And Lord, help my day that I could lead somebody to the Lord. I'm telling you, he'll hit you harder than he's ever hit you. But pray it anyway. I want to talk to you a little bit about our spiritual vision. See, 20/20 vision or 20/20 acuity test is a measure of your central vision's ability to see shapes and details from 20 foot away. How many's ever been up to 20 foot and you got all these signs up? That, if we peg out we have 20/20 vision, that means that is normal vision. If you had 20/40 vision, that means that at 20 foot, you see what a normal person sees at 40 foot. So that's kind of the way the test goes. 20/20 spiritual vision is the ability to see clearly what we need most. What we need in our lives. What we need spiritually. And what it is that's going to encourage us this next year and the next few days. Oh, that we'd have 20/20 spiritual vision in 2020. Oh my, have you, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but have you set some goals? I've encouraged you to set a goal to read the Bible through in a year. And we're giving leaflets out and told you app that you can download, and I'm encouraging you to get in God's Word. We've encouraged you to set a goal to win one person to the Lord every month, so we'd win 12 people to the Lord this year. Are you setting those goals? Are you praying over those things? Are you concerned about people's souls? I pray that you'll pray, God, give me a burden for the lost. Give me a burden for myself that I will be the Christian you want me to be. Help me to do and be closer to you and grow more in the Lord than I did last year. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible tells of Elisha and what had happened up to this verse. The king of Syria, I believe it was, and he had, every time that he had set, laying wait to take out Israel's king, the prophet tell him what they were doing. He done it two or three times. Then finally the king of Syria got all of his people together and said, okay, there's a rat in the crowd. Somebody is going and telling the king of Israel what we're talking about over here. One of the guys rose up and said, no. Said, there's a prophet named Elisha and said, he tells the king what you say in your bedchambers. He said, okay, we're going to take this man out. So they went and surrounded the area where the prophet was. And this is where we are in this. And in this verse here, the Bible says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord. And the young man had with him, his servant, had looked out. And he said, Master, what are we going to do? And he made a statement before that. He said, there's a lot more with us than they are against us. Now, I'm sure that that servant said, you know you're a man of God, but you sure don't know nothing about math. And then here in verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Boy, that's what I'm praying this morning, that the Lord will open our eyes and that we can see what he has in store for us. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Lord, open our eyes that we can see. Open thee, the song says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Help us to see you, who you are, high and lifted up. Help us to see you. I think one of the things that we lose sight of who God is. We lose sight of Him. He is above all. And we have lost that somewhere. We have allowed the devil to slip in. And we don't. We've lost vision of who He is. You hear people say things like, well, the old man up above. That is, we have lost sight that He is God. And He is in control. And He's in charge of everything. See, as we thinking about our spiritual vision, we need to pray. The first thing that I've seen, and this is the only point that we'll probably get to today, but we need to pray about our blinded vision. About our blinded vision. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who is the gospel hid from if it's hid? If you're saved, it's not hid from you. It's hid from the ones that don't know the Lord. That's never called upon Him. And the ones that are been blinded by the God of this world, been blinded by Satan. He works overtime to blind the minds and the hearts of people. And I'm going to go through a few things here. But we are blinded. See, when they're blinded by the god of this world, by Satan, we can't see the beauty of the gospel. Salvation, don't look at enticing. Well, it works good for those folks over there, but I just don't really see the importance of it. That's where a lot of people are. They don't see the beauty of the gospel. It's the power of God. The Bible says that it's a stumbling block to some, but to us that believe, it's the power of God. It's what has resurrected us from death unto life. It has given us something to sing about. It's given us that we can sing, worship His majesty, because we're saved and on our way to heaven. I now don't have to worry about going to hell. I remember a time in my life, if something happened, I would say, "Oh Lord, forgive me. I wanted to get right. If I thought that I was getting ready to have an accident or something, I wanted to be right." See, I don't have to worry about that now. Boy, that's a pretty picture right there. And you can ask Rhonda, I don't have no trouble at all going to sleep at night. I mean, I'll go to sleep talking to you. Joanne was up one night talking to me. I went to sleep, and she turned to Rhonda and said, "I went to sleep. He went to sleep, me talking to him." What a beauty it is to know salvation, to be saved and on your way to heaven. Glory, hallelujah, we ought to get excited about it. See, when we're blinded, we can't see the beauty and we can't see the glory of the plan of redemption. We have been bought with a price. God has saved our souls. Owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. I needed somebody to take care of that for me. And He stepped in and said, "I'll pay Tim's debt." Glory, hallelujah. He's going to go to hell if I don't, so I'm going to pay His debt. I'm going to take His punishment. I'm going to take His penalty. I'm going to take His cross. I'm going to take His hell. And everything that He deserves, I'm going to take it for Him. Woo! Glory, I don't know about you, but that excites me that I don't want my eyes to be blinded of a picture and the glory of redemption. When you're redeemed, somebody buys you back. We'd been sold a cheap bill of goods by the devil. We got burnt. You remember that old commercial about cars, and that guy said, "Whoa, you got smoked." That's kind of, we got smoked in this deal. We believed the lies of the devil, human beings did, and we were separated from God. And Jesus bought all of us back, paid the price, and we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, we ought to just take a recess and go to shouting right there for a while. Glory, hallelujah. Are you glad to be redeemed today? Praise the name of the Lord. See, and we can't see with bandages over our eyes. My brother just had eye surgery and had to wear a patch for 6 weeks. He said, "That's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do." And what, when we are blinded and we have stuff over our eyes, we can't see the beauty of some of these things. I tell you, my heart, it just broke my heart. My mom, after my dad passed away, and a few months later, she took a 16-day trip out west on a bus, a fellowship tours, took a 16-day trip. And they went, some of y'all that's been out there have never been, they was a desert right before you get to the Grand Canyon. It's a devil something, I believe. But anyway, she was there. They were getting ready to go to Grand Canyon, and she messed around and fell and cut herself real bad, and they had to get her a cab, take her to the hospital, and sew her hand up. While she was at the hospital having her hand sewed up, they were at the Grand Canyon. She wanted to see the Grand Canyon so bad. and never got to see it. One of the guys that took her video camera and videoed all of it and all of it for her. And you know, when it got back, she got to look at it and see it, but she missed the Grand Canyon. But because she didn't go, didn't mean that it wasn't there. Because you could see that video. It's as beautiful as it looked. But just because our eyes are blinded and we don't see the things of God and we don't see what the devil is doing, that don't mean it's not real. That don't mean that it's not, that salvation is beautiful and redemption is glorious and heaven is real and we're going to go there one day and hell is hot and horrible and you want to miss it. And the devil can blind their eyes and try to keep that away from us, but just as sure as I'm standing here, as the Word of God said, it's as true as the last breath we've drawn. Seeing, we can't see because of the agency of Satan. You can look in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and I preached a whole series on spiritual warfare. We can see that the devil is real, and we're in a battle with him. And he has principalities and powers, and he is organized. He is set up. He has worked this thing for thousands of years to manipulate and get a plan to come down for us. And he has worked hard at it. Never left a stone unturned. See, it's because of that agency that we can't see, that folks can't see and is blinded. I'm not up here to give him no credit. I despise him. I hate him. I'm glad one day that he's going to be turned into the lake of fire forever and ever, and he can't deceive nobody anymore. What a glorious day that'll be. But he blinds eyes through his agency. By a direct influence of the minds of people. When we open our minds and let him get a foothold in our minds is where he wants us. If he can get in our minds and our hearts, then he can take our eyes off of salvation. He can take our eyes off of where we're heading. He can discourage witnessing to people. He can get us occupied with something else, and we're not as concerned about coming to church. We're not concerned about reading the Bible. We're not concerned about praying. We're not concerned about praying with our children and reading Bible before we go to bed at night. We're not concerned about sitting around the supper table, which is almost a thing of the past, of families coming and meeting and eating supper together around the table. Boy, that's a big thing at the house. Now we don't have that time like we used to. And the devil, if he can get our minds off of some of these things and get in our hearts and our thoughts, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I want to ask, how many knows what a well is? Not a trick question. How many's ever drunk out of a well? How many's ever... Now, farmers do this a lot, and I used to do it quite a bit. Change oil, and everything you change oil in, I kept it in a bucket. Because, I mean, that's good stuff. You can go pour it on your mowing machine, it don't rust up. You can mix a little diesel fuel with it. Man, it preserves a bed on a wagon or a trailer. How many's ever took that jug, 5-gallon bucket of oil, and wanted to get rid of it and just take it out and poured it down their well? I'm getting some funny looks right now. That would be the dumbest thing that you could ever do. But we do it with our minds. We open up our minds and let the enemy and the devil put in things in our minds that's garbage and rubbish and trash. And the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Don't let the world pour a bunch of junk and muck and garbage in it, because out of it, what did come out of that well? That out of that well was good water. He said, don't pour oil in your well, because you're going to drink out of it in the morning. You're going to drink out of it next week, and that is what's going to sustain your life. Amen? Now, I know that's a pretty crude example, but it got the point across. I got your attention for a few minutes. But God says here that guard your heart with all diligence. Don't let Hollywood dictate who you are. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit said amen. Don't let Hollywood dictate who you are. Don't let some rock singer or country singer or any other kind of singer that's making millions of dollars dictate how you act and what you wear and the things that you are. Don't let some athlete dictate to you how to act. Guard your heart with all diligence is what the Bible says, because out of it is the issues of life. And when we throw garbage in the spring, it's not going to be good drinking water. Man told me one time, said, if there's not lizards in the spring house, I'm not drinking the water. Amen? I'm not the only one that's heard that then. The next thing is by false philosophy. You know, there's a philosophy going along around the world today that if you do better, more good than bad, you'll win in the end. That's a false philosophy. That's from the Satan that blinds the eyes. There's a lot of religions going around, and I've heard it said from some pretty popular people, Jesus is a way to heaven. There's many ways, but he is a way. That's a lie. He is the way. He's the only way. Other religion says, well, there's a little bit of God in all of us. And one day we're going to be perfect and we'll all be gods. No, there ain't no good in us. Our heart's deceitful, wicked above all. Who can imagine? Our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. One thing about each of us in here. You're going to say, preacher, I can't believe you said that about me. But I'm saying about myself, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We all fall under that category. And then these two categories come under that. We're either forgiven or unforgiven. I'm glad I'm a forgiven sinner this morning. Glory, hallelujah. I'm not too special. Ain't much about me. But I've been forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. And Satan can take that and take it back to hell with him. And I'm saved and on my way to heaven. God has redeemed my soul because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because there's any good in me. And there's another theory called relativism. It says what's right for you may not be right for me, and what's wrong for you may not be wrong for me. Everything's relative. And if it's not wrong to me, then I don't have to give an account for it. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. We got 66 books that tells us what's right and wrong. There's a distinct line. It's not all gray. There's black and white. And it's the Word of God tells us which way to go. Amen? That's the false philosophy. Another thing that he does is blinds by superstitions and idolatry. Now, there is some people that has more faith in a superstition than they do God. When I was studying and praying over this, the Lord brought that to my mind just as clear. You don't believe me? Watch somebody when black cat runs across the road in front of them. Throw salt over your shoulder at the kitchen table. Amen? We've got, so many people's got more faith in old wives' tales and superstitions than they do the Word of God. The devil has blinded us with a bunch of nonsense of things that we believe and things we've been taught from, well, Grandpa said it. Now, it's got to be the truth. Amen? And idolatry. And I talked about it last week, and the Lord's brought it out again this week. See, these powers of Satan restrain our intellect, perverts our wills, makes people debased, sunken, and polluted with the things of the world. When we give in, and we give in to idolatry. When we, and I won't go here long, but when anything gets higher and more important to us than serving God, that is our idol. And that is who we're serving. He produces in our minds false values of objects. I can go outside, and I can take something as small as that cough drop Gary gave me and laid up here for me, and I can hold it and get it close enough to my eye, and I can block out the sun with it. We can take small, insignificant objects in our lives that ain't worth nothing and put it so close to our eye that it blocks out all the glory of the Lord. And we don't see nothing but these little objects. We don't see nothing but these little small things that's going to burn up one day. We allow things to be directly in our face and in our eyes, and it might be a house. It might be our job. It might be our money. It might be our vehicle. How many of you remember the first car you ever got? Do you wash the one you got now as much as you did that one? Probably not. I mean, we washed and waxed and shined, and it had to be perfect. My neighbor used to laugh. He said, "Boy, I can tell when you got a date with Rhonda, you're over there scrubbing on that old truck." If we're not careful for something as useful and helpful as a vehicle, we could make a god out of it. We'll sure go in debt and have to work two jobs to pay for one. Amen? We allow these objects to get between us and the Lord. It blinds our vision. How in the world can I see clearly what I'm going to do for the Lord in 2020 when I've got my eyes on something that's going to melt and rust and fade away? Amen? If you ain't going to amen me, I will. And blinding influences of passion and vice. You know, the devil blinds us with all these influences of passion and vices, and we feel that there's no beauty in the truth of Christianity or chastity, either one, or no value in being honest, or no value in the fear of the love of God, fear of God. Let me ask you this morning, what are you most passionate about? What is the number one passionate thing that drives you in your life? See, if we're not careful, we'll let the Satan slip in passions and things we're passionate over, and that's what we'll strive for, and that'll be your driving force, and that'll be what gets us. I know I've shared this. I feel led to share it again. I wasn't planning on it. Several years ago in 04, 05, around that time, 07 in that area, right before the housing bubble busted, and I'd been wanting to build a house for years and sell, build a spec home, and me and my brother and cousin bought 14 lots. We started building houses. The first one we built had to hurry and get done because it already sold. I thought, man, this is pretty good stuff right here. And by the time we got that house finished and was starting on the second one, I'd drive down the road and I said, boy, that's a good piece of property. That'd be a good place to build a house. That'd be a good place. There'd be one, two, three. There'd be, I could make $40,000 or $50,000 right there. And then my mind got to going. But the Lord wouldn't allow it. 8 months later, after I'd mowed the yard in that house, that second house we built, they was getting ready to have to turn my building loan over into a conventional loan because I hadn't sold it in a year. When that one sold, I, with much prayer and pleading to the Lord, I sold my lots. So the housing market crash is my fault. I bought into it. But see, I was allowing the devil to get into my mind and fogging up things. See, I hadn't answered the call to preach in. What if I'd have got all involved in these things and all involved in making money and all involved in building and all involved getting bigger and all involved in this and all involved in that? Then I'd have missed the call of God upon my life. See, we these things we're passionate over, we can allow them to drive us and blind us from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. See, and we have believed his lies that it matters what people thinks of us. Well, I didn't get much response there. And this has been one I've struggled with. I want everybody to like me. What people thinks about me is important. But what God thinks about me is a lot more important than what any of y'all think about me. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I'm not being ugly. But I want to be sure what he thinks about me is what matters. And see, when we believe the lie that what other people see us as really, really matters, then we'll get saying, well, I'm overweight. I'm too skinny. I've got a bad complexion. I have no hair. I have gray hair. I'm not popular. I'm poor. So I need. There's the lies. So I need more bling. Boy, that necklace and that earring down there, it costs $2,800. Man, that is exactly I will be in if I had those. Or that bass boat that cost $49,000. If I had that, I'd be the envy of the lake. I would be in. I'm not talking to you, Steve. I'm not. But see, we buy in, and then we've got to have a better tan. We've got to have more expensive clothing. Our car is out of date, so we've got to have the best car that there are. And we've got to be more connected with movies and shows so that we can talk all of this around our friends. And when all these other things don't work, we can always go to drugs and alcohol. That really will get us through and make us real popular with the crowd. And I am just one website away of having that cyber relationship that I need. Amen. And the last, and If I was more physically fit, I would be in the in crowd. Now, there was nothing wrong with them, but when we believe the lies of the devil and he blinds our eyes, he can blind us from spiritual things that matters in eternity with these temporary things that don't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, it really don't matter what you think of me. But law, I've lived a life trying to impress people. Rhonda will say amen. And we think that we have to impress everybody. See, that's a lie of the devil. These things really don't matter. What matters is your relationship with God. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you called upon Him? Is He the Lord of your life? Has He forgiven you of your sins? Have you been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? One more, I'll make this one quick. We can't see the urgency to win souls. Why are Christians so apathetic or unconcerned about lost people? Why are we? I believe we're just happy to be in. And we get over it. And we're just happy that our name's written down, and we hope other folks make it, and we'll say a prayer every now and then. But are we concerned about them? What do we do about the lost? See, I think that the preaching of hell is as important or more important to the believers as it is the unbelievers. We don't hear it a whole lot anymore, and we forget how horrible it is. We forget those folks that we love so near and dear and is so important to us. We'll spend eternity in this horrible place called hell if we don't win them to the Lord. If we don't make efforts. In Revelation, the church of Laodicea, Jesus said, it's because you're lukewarm. Because you're not on fire for the Lord. We've lost the zeal. We've lost the passion for the Lord. When you got saved, I bet you told everybody about the Lord. Amen? We was ready to witness and charge hell with a water pistol. How long has it been since you've shared the gospel with someone? How long has it been since you've invited someone to church? How long has it been since you've sat down and told somebody the plan of salvation? How are we going to win anybody to the Lord if we don't share the gospel with them? Amen? Well, they don't come to church anymore, preacher. Then let's go to them. In the Sunday school lesson this morning, did we read about Jesus building a big fancy church to invite people to? No, He took His 12 disciples and sent them out. He said, you go into each of these cities and you witness to them and you tell them and you heal them. He said, you reach them and you teach them about the Word of God and then you meet their needs. Amen? That's what the Lord commissioned His disciples to do. Are we disciples? If we're saved, we ought to be disciples. I think that commission still falls for us. We're to go into all the world. That's the gospel call. G-O. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go ye into all the world. I'm going to revise it a little bit. Making disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Then He left a real important statement there. Lo, I am with you always. Praise the Lord. That's the encouragement we need. You're not going alone. He's going with you. Praise the Lord. In Romans 12:11, it also says, Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, I think as Christians we've got lazy. I've got one finger out and four back. We get lazy. We get comfortable. We get in our comfort zone. We like being with people like us. That binds us and hinders us from going out. In Revelation 3:2, when Jesus is talking to the church and he says, be watchful and strengthen things which remain that are ready to die. He says that if we don't strengthen what we got, we'll dry up and die and blow away. Strengthen. Be watchful. Be on fire for what we've got. Don't let the devil snatch it. See, is our 2020 vision and goals, what are they? And you might say, well, preacher, I need to change some things. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you, did you say, during this message or in the last few weeks, has the Lord brought anything that really needs changed in your life? You think, boy, I really need to change this. This needs to be different in my life. Well, I'm going to share something with you just as honest as I can. You can't do it. And I say, boy, you're not much of a preacher. You can't do it. But in the book of John, in John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So we can't make a change. We can't make us better Christians. We can't make us better witnesses. We can't make us go into heaven. But Jesus can. Without him, we can do nothing. Let me ask you. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're saved this morning and on your way to heaven? Bar none, you don't have no hesitation. Well, I was saved then, I don't know, and I've got out. I said, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're saved this morning? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to deal with that in a minute because that's the most important thing that you'll ever do is make sure that your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Did the Holy Spirit deal with you about anything? Have you been challenged? I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and allow him to make the change. See, you can read every health book you want. You can make every resolution that you want to make. But without Jesus, we can't do nothing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we ask you, Lord, that you would touch our vision. And Lord, that you would take the blinders off of our eyes. And Lord, that we would that you would encourage us and Lord, to help us in our lives and help us to get over, Lord, the lies of Satan that the God of this world has blinded us with. Lord, take those things away and encourage us. And Lord, take the things that in our lives away that's causing us to stumble. And Lord, I pray that you'd remove the lies of Satan this morning. You'd run him out of this church in the name of Jesus. I ask you to send him where you see fit. Lord, get a straight heart shot at our hearts this morning. Lord, help us and give us 2020 vision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand and turn to page 460.
Page 460. Amen. Will you come this morning? Has the Lord dealt with you about anything? Will you come?
Oh,
Are you saved this morning? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Is God dealing with you about salvation, or maybe in a backslidden condition? Will you come this morning? Will you come? I want to ask you this morning, have we allowed some things to creep in that has blocked our vision for 2020? Have we got goals set that we want to reach? Have we certain people we want to win to the Lord? Have we made decisions to follow the Lord and to be more devoted in every part of our Christian walk? If we hadn't, I invite you to come and set those goals this morning. I invite you to come and pray and ask the Lord to free us up and remove these blinders off of our eyes so that we could see clearly what it is that God wants us to do. Do you have a commission for this year? Do you know really what the Lord is asking you to do this year? Have you prayed through? Are you 100% sure this is what God's wanting me to do? If you hadn't, I ask you to come and allow God to maybe recommission us this morning. People that fail to plan will surely succeed. Amen. Will you come as we sing another verse?